So with that, and I think that Senator Klobuchar is one of those statesperson that will advance our principles in Congress. Please welcome Senator Amy Klobuchar.
Well, thank you so much, Doug, for that really nice introduction. How many of you have been to the Farmers Union booth at the Minnesota State Fair? There we go. There's the Minnesota. Okay. It's worth getting photos of it because Doug single-handedly, along with his great staff and our great Farmers Union's members decided they were going to take kind of an old-fashioned booth and make it into something cool. And if you want to know how to attract millennials, that was it. They've got like frozen coffee on a stick, and it literally has some of the longest lines. They have music all the time, and it's just a great example of integrating different generations of farmers and rural America. And so it's that kind of creativity that we have in Minnesota, and he's also a really great artist. I have one of his paintings hanging in my office in Washington, D.C. It also was wonderful to hear from the Andrews family. What a beautiful tribute to your brother. Thank you so much. And to see all so many friends here. It is wonderful to welcome the people from outside of Minnesota to our state. It's a state where, in the words of our poet laureate Garrison Keillor, the women are strong, right? The men are good looking. You can ask Al Franken. And all the Farmers Union members are above average. We are very proud of our Farmers Union. I actually heard that a few of you got to see Al last night. He was there. We have a lot of fun together. And then also I heard Dave Fredrickson was there, our ag commissioner, who was my former staffer. After he was the National Farmers Union head, he actually came, as you know, was in Minnesota, and he ended up coming to work for me when I got elected to the U.S. Senate for 5 years. And I cannot tell you how funny it was to see Dave, who was about 30 years older, maybe almost 40, than many of our staff members. He was like their dad and their grandpa, every relationship problem. He had a box of Kleenex in his office. People would come in, and then to be with him in the back, where he'd be in the back seat of the car, and I go, we got to get an answer to that. They're sending it to you. Just look on your BlackBerry, Dave. Anyway, so we are very close friends. I just talked to him this weekend, and you were lucky to have him as well. So I thought I'd just talk a little bit about some of the farm issues and the work we've been doing. As you know, the 2014 Farm Bill was really important. We tried as best as we could to continue a focus on small farms as well as all of agriculture, to look out for organic farms, to look out for fruit and vegetables and other parts of our agriculture community. And we also tried to do a better job of protecting our farmers from disasters and putting a safety net in place. Also really important to me was that we had a bill that would be easier to extend into the future. If you remember last time, that was a real problem for some of the energy provisions and others. And so just in case we can't get a new bill passed, we want to have one that was easier to extend to give us that insulation so we make sure we could have something in place. And I think we've seen the need for this farm bill certainly over the last year, whether it was avian flu outbreaks decimating poultry farmers, whether it was the droughts across the country leaving fields barren and dusty in the west, or low prices for commodities that have hurt everyone's bottom line. We need that farm bill, and we need that safety net for our farmers. And as you probably noticed, it's an election year. Did some of you notice that? And so we always worry that things, I know Roger does, can be done to you through people trying to make a name for themselves with passing bills and trying to put things in place. And it's not like those bills haven't been introduced, but we've been able to keep our coalition together. Farmers Union plays a major role in that. So we have a strong line of defense from people who are trying to tear down the important farm bill and some of the protections that are in place. The fact that we have a number of people in the U.S. Senate that are up for election from the Midwest probably helps us as well. So I'm not as concerned about that as I have been in other years. It's, of course, not an easy time to be in Washington. My favorite low point of the last few years was the fiscal cliff night when we voted until 3 in the morning on New Year's Eve, you know, that magical moment, New Year's Eve, something I will never forget. Literally at midnight, I was standing in the Senate chamber, and I looked to this true story. I looked to my left, I see Harry Reid. I looked to my right, I see Mitch McConnell, every girl's dream on New Year's Eve. From that, we, of course, then journeyed into the shutdown, which was a Ted Cruz-produced drama with a lot of bad consequences, of course, for our country, losing billions of dollars, and the country got really pissed off, which was a good thing. And then we at least stopped the red light, green light, playing games with our budget, playing games with our tax code, and most importantly, playing games with our citizens, and no one gets hurt when that happens more than small business owners and farmers. Since then, we actually, despite the rhetoric you might hear nationally, especially when it comes to some of the agriculture issues, have been able to pass bills. In addition to the Farm Bill, we passed the Water Resources Development Act under the leadership of Barbara Boxer. We passed the Protecting Americans from Tax Hike Act. Whatever the name, it provided some relief and certainty for our farmers and ranchers. Research Development Tax Credit, increased depreciation allowance under Section 179 were both made permanent. And we also extended the bonus depreciation for another 5 years. We also, Senator Thune and Stabenow, myself, included a provision in the PATH Act to create agriculture research organizations that will work with ag and land grant colleges and universities to do research. And Chairman Roberts and I introduced bipartisan legislation last year to help you buy new equipment and replace worn-out machinery. A companion bill was introduced in the House, and my hope is that as we proceed with tax reform next year, that we make certain that this is a part of it. As you know, the employment situation, especially in our state of Minnesota, is good, but that doesn't mean that people don't struggle, especially in our rural areas. And one of the ways that I saw as a positive for our country is that we finally passed a long-term transportation bill. It's called the FAST Act. It wasn't exactly fast in coming, but we were able to get it done. And for Minnesota alone, it's $4 billion in the next 5 years for steady transportation funding. It's an increase in transportation funding in every one of your states. And the most important thing, especially with the issues we've had with getting goods to market, whether it's the train issues over the last few years, better right now, but we know could get worse again if oil production goes up. The barge issues we've had, the problems with locks and dams, although we were able to do a few good things there in terms of that kind of transportation. And this is a lot, of course, focused on highways and bridges. I just figure we're not going to be able to compete in this 21st century economy if we don't have a 21st century transportation system. So as we move forward, there is one other opportunity, and that is as we go forward with tax reform, as good as the FAST Act was, we consider that really a base. We might be able to get even more money if we do something with an infrastructure bank, which would be part of tax reform, you know, that money that's overseas. If we can reach some deal to bring the money back in a way that's fair to our taxpayers, we could arguably put a portion of it into infrastructure or research or whatever we want. And we hope any bill, and I've tried to make sure of this with these infrastructure bills, would include some carve-outs for rural America. So it isn't just going to big metropolitan areas. And so that's going to be one of our challenges and something we have to make sure happens as we go forward. Other thing that is really important to all of you, of course, is rural broadband. I'm on the Commerce Committee, and this has been one of my priorities, is to get more money into rural broadband. If I hear another story about a farmer having to go to the McDonald's parking lot to do his paperwork, I think in the greatest country on earth, that's what we're doing, right? And that is what's happening. And I think the change is we've always had some access here and there, but it hasn't been fast enough. It hasn't been high speed enough. And now as the technology is changing, it's going to make it more and more important to have high speed access. So what do we do about it? Well, we have a lot of money. My state alone got, I think, $86 million in just this last year, starting to come out from the federal government. Each state is doing different things to supplement that. But I've also worked really hard on trying to get some money out of the Universal Service Fund. And that is a huge fund that's been set up mostly for landline phones in rural and in low-income areas. Everyone pays into it when you get your phone service. There's a lot of money in there, and we want to make sure we preserve that landline part of it, but that we use some of the money for broadband. So Thune and I actually led a letter. We got 61 senators on it to get the FCC to make some reforms to that fund so some of it can go directly into rural broadband. As you know, he's the chair of the Commerce Committee. His state is rural, South Dakota. And so that's why we did that together. And we're happy to say the FCC has just come out with the public announcement that they're going to put an order in place that's going to finally free up some of that money for more broadband. And so I think that's a positive development. And of course, for kids living in rural areas, it is a challenge whether you're in a small town out in western Minnesota or whether you're on one of our tribal lands. I actually spoke to one of our chiefs, and one house got Wi-Fi on this rather poor reservation, and all the kids were in the yard trying to do their homework. And that just shouldn't be happening in our country. So I'm pretty excited about what we're doing. We just passed a spectrum bill this week, and I also have a provision in there called Dig Once. I got some Republicans on it, which put some requirements in place so that when they are doing highway construction projects, they also put the conduit in, and we've been working to get that done. Biofuels, renewable fuel standard, we spent a lot of time on that over the last few years. I didn't quite like, I'm sure those of you that care about this issue, the final rule, but it was better than what we started with from the administration. I was really proud of the Farmers Union and other farm groups that came together and really got people going. I felt like I was at one of those, you know, where we'd go, we'd have hundreds of farmers show up with petitions, and we were able to bring that. Farmers Union played a major role on that issue, and we continue to take on oil companies for all kinds of anti-competitive behavior. I chaired the antitrust committee for years, and I'm now the ranking Democrat because the Republicans took over. But I'm in a really good position to take on not just the rail service issue with captive customers, but also this issue of what the oil companies do to us to try to get us out of the market. Last thing I wanted to bring up, where I swear the first people that talked to me about this issue were the Farmers Union representatives, and you guys were ahead of your time, and that is lifting the embargo on trade with Cuba. I'm leading the bill, the first bill actually ever introduced in the Senate to completely lift the embargo. I now have a number of Republicans on it, and I have 22 senators on it, and I promise you I have dozens more that will vote for it, but they don't just, they're not putting their name on it yet. Congressman Emmer, who I think you may hear from today, a Republican from our state as well, is leading the bill in the House. Our bills are a little different. Mine, I have a little bit more of a liking for, because it includes all the ag programs, pretty important, right? The ag marketing programs and things like that. But the fact that he's been willing to come out front on this is really important. And remember, he has taken over the district once held by Michelle Bachmann. And I have a funny feeling she wouldn't have taken on this Cuba issue. So I'm really pleased that he's leading this bill, and hopefully we can work out these differences as the bills go forward. Just a bit on Cuba, having been there twice in the last year. I went once with Senator Warner and Senator Claire McCaskill, and it was really a focused ag and business trip. We saw the new port there, Mariel, that they're developing, because the other port, the port of Havana, is going to become a tourist port. And just to see that port and picture all those ships coming in, you know, we want those ships to carry American agriculture products, right? Not agriculture products from other places in South America and elsewhere. We want them to have our products on there. Meeting the Cuban people, 11 million people just 90 miles off our shore, and just seeing how much ahead of their government they are. A number of them have started their own businesses. You know, we have a good chunk of their population now that is running a different currency. This is a true story. They have two currencies in Cuba. They have the government currency, and then they have the currency that the tourists use and the people who are in business use. We visited a farm when we were in Cuba, and realized, you know, how much more work they have to do there, as their own agriculture system has pretty much gone downhill, and that's why they have this humanitarian system in place, which allows farmers from America to export to Cuba. I then went back again with Secretary Kerry, and that was an amazing trip. If you saw any of the stories or TV after that trip, and got to fly with Jim, Larry, and Mike, the three Marines who were given the very difficult job over 50 years ago in 1961 of going through a jeering crowd and taking our flag down as they closed the American embassy. And one of them told the crowd, "We will be back." And so just this last summer, they were back. And those three Marines handed a flag to three young Marines who then hoisted the flag up over our newly opened embassy in Cuba. And that was a pretty cool thing. So I figure over 50 years of a failed policy is enough, having met with the heads of the Catholic Church there, having met with people from the Jewish community. We know they are still very serious human rights violations going on in Cuba, but I figured the best way we change them is what we are doing now with the president visiting Cuba in the next few weeks and with our government pushing for change while at the same time pushing for human rights change. So I just want to thank you for everything you've done, for looking out for the family farmers, for looking out for some of these bigger issues just outside of the farm bill. I think it makes a big difference. And if I ever know, ever have a question about farm policy, I know who to call, and that's the Farmers Union. So thank you for being there for me and all you do. And I'm going to be back, I think, tonight for the big party, because I hear a rumor that Colin Peterson's band is playing. Is that correct? So, you know, I got to be there for that. So thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
I just love embarrassing.